Blog Talk Radio.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transition. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Program is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
My purpose is to praise you. My longing is to worship you. My life desire to live for you. The mighty things you do, I worship you, 'cause in spite of all my misery and all the things I cannot see, I know I can call out your name. My
Good morning. Good morning. It's time for Josie's Inspiration, A to Z, Essential Oils for Cancer Care. And I'm Josie Hopkins, and it is June the 3rd. Wow, what a beautiful song. I listen to it each time, no matter how often I hear her sing. I just praise God for my existence, for my presence, and for fulfilling the purpose that I believe he's called me to do, and that is to be an inspiration to others and to share a message that I hope today will uplift someone. And if you're not the person who's experiencing cancer, maybe someone else that you know, please share and let them know that there are some ways that they can effectively find benefits for their experiences. Now, my reminder always is I am not a doctor. I don't pretend to be one. I am an essential oil enthusiast, and the information that I share with you is based on my personal experience and not intended to diagnose or to give you some information that will change any treatment that your doctor has prescribed. So remember, this is based on Josie's experiences and how I use oils. And so we have gone through the alphabet A through F, and today we're going to talk about the alphabet G. But first, before we do, I just want to say I wasn't with you 2 weeks ago because I was in the Bahamas. I earned a cruise with a company that I'm a part of, Damsel in Defense, and so I missed being here. But I know that you had a chance to listen to a previous show if you were on. But today, I'm so excited to be back, and I'm excited for so, so many reasons because June is my birthday month. And so I'm in celebratory mode in 2 weeks today. On the 17th of June, when I come back again, I'll be celebrating my 65th birthday. And I feel enormously blessed because it was only, only 18 years ago when I was getting that first cancer diagnosis and believing that I would not make it. And so I shared with you a while back the poem that I wrote, Never Would Have Made It, which is penned in tranquil moments. Never Would Have Made It book by Jazara, who is also a host on Joseph's Inspiration. And I decided this morning that I would just kind of look back in reflection, because as I talk today about the letter G and grief is what I felt at the moment of my diagnosis, because one of the things that I said was sitting there frozen in disbelief. Nothing the doctor said could bring me relief. The most curable type of cancer, she said with a smile. I couldn't believe it, couldn't breathe for a while. But I'm still breathing, and I'm still here. And I hope that I'm being a blessing to you as I share with this message today. So let's get to it, because time is moving on. And today I'm talking about the letter G, grief, A to Z, essential oils for cancer care. A to Z, emotional and physical effects have to do a lot with when you're being treated for cancer. And grief is a normal response to any major loss, such as the death of a loved one. Grief may also be felt by a person with a serious long-term illness or with a terminal illness. It may include feelings of great sadness, anger, guilt, and despair. Physical problems may also exist, such as not being able to sleep, changes in appetite. All of those are part of grief that may be experienced. Grief is something that we all have dealt with in our lives. You know, we've had people pass. I don't think there's a person who exists who does not know of a loved one that has passed. And, you know, even as I say that, my heart goes out right now to the families of the 12 and 13 people who lost their lives in Virginia Beach this past week on Friday as a result of senseless killing. So, you know, grief is all around us. And whether you're in the moment of grief right now, I encourage you to pray for those who are experiencing grief, death, loss, unexpectedly in their lives. So we know grief is something that we've all dealt with, But many think about this emotion in the context of someone dying, but grief can also be experienced whenever you find anything valuable that is lost. Whenever you're experiencing a loss, you can be in a period of grief. It can be the loss of a job, the loss of a house, a relationship, a marriage. But with cancer diagnoses bring about grief in a different kind of way. And it's a common emotional roller coaster for cancer patients. Whenever that loss that you're experiencing is tangible, whether it's tangible or not, for instance, a body part, losing hair. You know, as a woman, losing my hair was a traumatic experience. In fact, when I was losing my hair, I just decided to go ahead and cut it all off. I just couldn't take little pieces falling out little by little. And I decided to just cut it off by myself and not wait for it to all fall off. But, you know, for a long time, I tried to hold on to it because I just couldn't fathom the fact that really I was going to lose my hair, that I would have to wear a wig, or that I would be bald, or that how would I look? You know, would my husband be accepting of me? So there were many things that I was experiencing that were tangible, my hair loss, my fingernails turning black, but there's also that intangible aspect, loss of independence or sense of myself. You know, I remember when I got my first diagnosis and I was at work afterwards, and I remember people coming into my office, and they had this look of despair and sadness, and I just couldn't take it. And I just encouraged my staff to don't come in here if you can't come in the way that you did before. If you can't come in jolly and smiling, don't come in here with a pity look on your face, because that was more than I could handle. And so having that sense of who I am, you know, I had to acknowledge that I am not cancer. Cancer is a diagnosis that's been given to me, but it's not who I am. But at the moment of being in cancer, in the moment of getting the cancer diagnosis, it becomes all-consuming, and you feel like everything about you is just that one cancer. So how does it cause grief? Experts suggest, and as I talk about experts, I'm pulling information today from the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center, which is has a counseling and a cancer support center. But they say that experts suggest that you understand your grief in order to take the appropriate steps to manage it. Sometimes people become frustrated with themselves for grieving, and they want the process to be over quickly. You know, when we're independent-minded and driven, particularly women who are working a corporate life or leading a family, you know, we want it to be done and over. We don't want to go through that process. We want to return as quickly as possible to our normal life. But try to think of the loss that you're experiencing as a wound and your grief as the healing. The bigger the loss, the longer the healing process can take. So many cancer patients experience collateral losses, such as not being able to work or engage in normal activities, having the financial burden of treatment, and more. Because of multiple losses and life changes occurring in close proximity, grief may continue to grow. And therefore, facing your emotions head on and allowing yourself to grieve will be better for you in the long run. Now, that's easily said, but not easily done. Grieving is difficult. Being a cancer patient is difficult. Being in any diagnostic situation where you are out of control is difficult. Grieving the past and the future after your diagnosis, you know, we start to worry as cancer patients even before we are in treatment, because we start to think about what's going to happen in the future. Am I going to be alive? Am I going to be long-term affected by this diagnosis, by the outcome? You know, nobody knows, because, you know, we don't know the future in everyday life. And certainly as a cancer patient, I didn't know what to expect afterwards. And here, post-cancer treatments 18 years later, I'm still having some side effects, some health concerns as it related to the cancer treatments, the diagnoses, and as it relates to the process that I went through, stem cell transplant, radiation, chemo, blood transfusions, just the multitude of things that my body went through. I have to talk to my body regularly and say, baby, I love you. I apologize for all that we went through, but we're still here. We're still here despite the doctor's predictions, the doctor's diagnosis, the doctor's doubts. God is always in charge. And I am always reminded that his purpose for my life and me going through this cancer was not just for me to be grieving and to be in a mournful spot. For some people, cancer treatment can impact the ability to have children, keep you from attending special occasions, and the major component of anticipatory grief when knowing that death could be likely. Because for every cancer patient, self included, the possibility of death was real. It reminded me of the significant losses that I had already experienced. My mom had died from cancer. I had friends who passed from cancer. And so when I got that diagnosis, immediately I thought, Lord, I'm going to die. But he reassured me, no, my child, your life has purpose. Your life has purpose. And so my purpose is to praise him. Just as Spencer Baker sings that song, my purpose is to praise him. My longing is to be of service to him. And so grieving is important, but you cannot stay in a place of grief. It's important to accept the reality and allow yourself space to experience the emotions and the pain of grief and adjust to a world without the things that you have lost. So one of the things that I do and why I'm talking about this right now, essential oils, because essential oils are my immediate go-to in any situation. If I'm having an emotional challenge, I have an oil for that. If I have a physical challenge, I have an oil for that. If I have something going on in my environment, I'll diffuse oils around me. And so oils have been a crucial part of my life and a part of what I do as a cancer victor, because, yes, I'm victorious over cancer. And so today I'm going to talk about a couple of oils that I think are very beneficial when experiencing grief, whether it's grief from a diagnosis such as cancer or grief from some other type of trauma. And remember, the information that I'm sharing is just that. It's for informational purposes only. I do not intend to diagnose, treat, or to recommend that you change anything that your doctor is doing, but these are some complementary things that you can do to support your wellness and you emotionally. And so the first oil I'm going to talk about is sandalwood. Wow. You know, sandalwood is a grounding oil. And it is very effective for short-term mental stress. And it is great for those experiencing grief. It inspires you to feel courageous. It helps with your emotions around confidence, being hopeful, and sympathetic. And that's very important because when you're experiencing cancer, you don't want to feel down all the time. Sometimes you need to boost your confidence. Sometimes you need that courage to go through the treatments, and you need to feel hopeful that God has a greater plan for you on the other side of the diagnosis and the treatment. But it's also important to allow yourself to be sympathetic, and this oil can help you balance those key emotions. You can use it by diffusing it in a room. I love my diffusers. Sometimes I'll just put oils on a little cotton ball or a Q-tip, and I'll just put it out in a room. I'll put it in my pillowcase or beside my bed if I need to have that balance to help me sleep during the night. And so sandalwood is an oil that is very grounding, and it can help you as you find yourself in that situation where you need to have courage, confidence, be hopeful, and to allow yourself to not be so hard on yourself for the diagnosis, because sometimes that's something that we do. You know, I question, what had I done to cause myself to have cancer? imagine, what had I done? You know, as though I'd done something to cause myself this diagnosis. Yes, there may have been some things that I could have done differently, but I now know that in this world that we live in, there are all kinds of environmental factors that can cause cancer. Now, my diagnosis, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, there's been so much talk about that because of lawsuits around some gardening products like Roundup. I use Roundup, but I don't know that that was the cause. So it could have been something environmental along with something that I could have done, you know, in my eating habits. But I could not focus on what I had done. I had to look at what can I do now to help myself go through this process during, before, and after. The second oil is Roman chamomile. I love chamomile. It's very calming and relaxing, and it's good for centering and self-control. And being centered when you're in the midst of a diagnosis can also be very hard because your mind is so focused on what's going to happen, what's going to occur in my life, how will I experience these treatments. And so to get centered and to be able to be still and be calm in the process is challenging. So I do a lot of deep breathing. I do a lot of praying and meditating. I love my quiet time. And sometimes I think I love my quiet time too much because I could be by myself all day long and never feel lonely. I love being alone because that's when I can hear God speak to me and tell me what are the things that he wants me to do. Help me be centered in the midst of chaos in my life. And then Roman chamomile also helps with self-control. And so the ability to manage myself in the midst of treatment, the ability to handle the situations as they come to me. And another emotion that's benefited by Roman chamomile is purposeful. And that's the real piece. How do you find purpose in the midst of grief? That can be really hard because in the midst of grief, you think there is nothing I can do. There is nothing that I have of benefit. There is nothing that I can move forward to resolve while I'm going through this grief. But you have to always feel that there is a purpose for your life, that God has called you for something greater than that diagnosis. And remember, cancer is not your name. It's just a circumstance that you may find yourself in. So Roman chamomile is good for being centered and having self-control and finding your purpose. Now, the third oil that I'm going to talk about is ylang ylang. Y-L-A-N-G, Y-L-A-N-G. People always go, well, how do you say that word, ylang ylang? Well, ylang ylang. And it is a oil that is very good to help you with gratitude. And you say, gratitude? How can you be grateful for cancer? Well, I'm very grateful for cancer because cancer was the answer to my freedom. You know, for 15 years now, I have been free. I have not been stressed by a job, by people who are negative, as I did when I worked. And it actually was a blessing because I prayed and I asked God to get me out of the stress of my job. And so I have to give gratitude. And so we have to be able to give gratitude in all things, whether it's good or bad. There is a greater purpose. There is something every single day that you can be grateful for. The fact that you are here, the fact that you woke up this morning, the fact that you are alive and breathing, no matter what your circumstance is, be grateful. Be always grateful. Ylang ylang is also good for fortifying. You need strength. You need to feel strengthened even in the midst of your situation. You need to be forgiving and giving. Yes, you need to give yourself permission to feel grief and to feel whatever you're feeling. You also get the benefit of serenity with ylang ylang. And so it's a great oil for me to have around, especially when I want to be alone and when I am alone. Remember, I'm not lonely. but I love to be alone. And, you know, that used to be a challenge because I thought, you know, if I'm alone, surely something must be wrong. Where are people in my life? But I had to understand that every time I'm with somebody does not necessarily mean that I'm being fulfilled. I can be fulfilled in the presence of just God, in the stillness, in the moment. I am fulfilled in my serenity. I can find solitude and I can find peace that helps me through those periods of grief. And so ylang ylang, another really great oil. And as I said, you can use oils in many different ways. You can add them to unscented sea salt. You can take a bath. You can soak in them. You can diffuse them in a room for 15-minute intervals, maybe every couple of hours throughout the day. You don't want to have a whole lot of oils all day long because oxygen is important. And as a cancer patient, I learned how important oxygen is. And we know that when something's going on, when you're in a grief state, you tend to restrict your breathing because you just are so much in a state of shock and disbelief that sometimes you don't allow yourself that time to breathe. So stop right now and breathe. Let go of any stress and tension that you might be feeling. And let God in. Breathe in his essence, his love, and his purpose for your life. Now, the fourth oil that I'm going to share with you, it's one of the blends with the company that I get my oils from, which is Youngevity International. And by the way, people always say, oh, well, where do I get these oils that you're talking about? You can go to josiehopkins.youngevity.com. That's J-O-S-I. HOPKINS.YOUNGEVITY.com. JosieHopkins.Youngevity.com. And as I continue to work on my JosieHopkins.com, which is where you'll be able to find the shows, look at my oils, and find out whatever else I'm doing in my life. But Dragon's Breath. And I talked about Youngevity because this is a trademarked oil of Youngevity. Dragon's Breath helps with the stresses of life, including grief and trauma. The oils have the properties that help to strengthen the nervous and the limbic systems, especially when dealing with stressful, fatiguing situations. Give the body what it needs and it will handle what is thrown at it. Don't let the name Dragon's Breath scare you. The inspiration for its name comes from one of the oils it contains, which is called Dragon's Breath. Dragon's blood, a plant found in the marshy regions of Southwest Asia. So it's good for the emotions of inner strength, courage, faith, and once again, serenity. Inner strength, you need that when you're in a period of grief. Courage, you need that when you're grieving. Faith, you always need it, no matter whether you're happy, grieving, or some other experience. Dragon's Breath has the oils of cypress, dragon's blood, cedar wood, frankincense, juniper berry, patchouli, sage, spikenard, and thyme all. So these are some of the oils that I highly recommend for somebody who is experiencing grief while going through cancer treatment, during or post-cancer treatment. So I hope the information I've given you today will help you understand that grief is a natural process for those who are experiencing cancer. But don't stay in that place of grief. Own it, acknowledge it, breathe in, breathe out, and let go and let God. And be blessed until I'm back with you on June the 17th, where I'll be sharing the letter H. Remember, we've done A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and next we're going to do H. This has been Josie Hopkins, Josie's Inspiration Radio Network. Thank you.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the Internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S., or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transition. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
This program is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to Rev. Lydia Speaks. This is a beautiful morning to me. And I've gotten a whole lot of revelation just sitting in what I call my cathedral, my front porch. And I want to speak to you about the art of balance. I'm sitting here and I'm concentrating on its beauty, abundance, and majesty. It's very early and it's already quite warm, and it promises to get hotter as the day goes on. But every now and then, there comes an ever so welcome breeze. Very slight, but I can feel the change. And it started me thinking about balance. Nature knows how to balance itself, whether it be survival of the fittest or wind at just the right moment. And if you are tuned to its rhythm, you're able to sense it. I said there's an art to balance for a very good reason. It seems to me that things that are eternal know how to survive, thrive, renew themselves as needed. It's an intelligence within every root, every seed, every plant, even a plant that's been almost cremated in a forest fire, that tells it that it can start to regenerate and bloom again, or when the exact time for the seasons to change may be. Birds never studied physics, yet they perch on a limb so small that it seems impossible to hold. And they look like they're enjoying swaying back and forth in the breeze. They don't worry about falling. Yet we humans, who have been given dominion over all of this, seems to have totally missed the boat. Instead of living in harmony with all that is, we encroach on and destroy without a care as to upsetting the balance of life, all in the name of progress. And then we have nerve to complain when those that we have displaced because of our actions are now encroaching on us. I know I was very upset to find that I had an attic full of raccoons. The little family moved, but not before they did some damage, quite a lot of damage, by the way. But the truth is, they've torn down about 10 acres of land, trees and everything around my house, that it was their home. So they tried to find a new home. Now, what about man on a much deeper level, our body temple, and most importantly, our souls? In the interest of faster production, we're feeding steroids and antibiotics to our food supply, and we're adding chemicals to our farmland and our soil and our water. For what? To make even bigger, yet more tasteless, fruit, veggies, fish, which is a direct impact on our bodies in many adverse ways. And as for our souls, how do you think we're caring for them in this hurry-up-and-get-it-done world? How much deliberate time to nurture our souls do we take? Not just going to church or reading a scripture here and there, but sitting with the Creator. I mean deliberate, conscious time to foster the relationship we were created to have. Yes, we were created to have relationship. So now, we have a domino effect of waste. Wasted land that at one time served as homes and places of reflection and beauty and peace. And then we have wasted and depleted our bodies and our minds. Because we're in a hurry to bring to market what I call a reasonable facsimile. I don't know when the last time I tasted a tomato that reminded me of summer. And then when you can find one, can you afford it? So what's the answer? I think we're unbalanced, and I think we should spend more time building relationship with God, asking for His wisdom, and then maybe we'll be able to learn. Maybe we'll be able to learn that we can still have what we need and more without sacrificing what really matters. In Matthew 6:33, we're told to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness over the things of this world as a priority. Now that was a direct statement from Jesus in His Sermon on the Mount. And this does not mean that we should neglect the everyday duties that sustain life, but rather that we should have a shift in attitude about priority. If we're taking care of God's business, seeking Him first, living in obedience, then His promise is to take care of everything else. And if that was the promise, then why are we so frustrated? Now let's be truthful. Even those who are trying to live this way know that God's timing or the results may not be what you want. But think about it. Rather, it might be what we need for our soul growth. Now, to me, this is a true prosperity gospel. Ask yourselves, where do I spend my energy, my money, my time? In Philippians 4:19, God promised to supply your every need. And if you look at Job and Elijah, these were two of God's men. They were stripped almost to the point of death. But when God brought them back, all of that time didn't matter because, you see, it was followed by times of restoration and renewal. Job got everything back and more, and Elijah was back in God's good grace after having been tempted by the harlot. Now, Matthew 6:33 is not a formula for gaining wealth, but a description of how God works. Jesus himself taught to focus on first cause. Now, first cause is God, the Creator. And I like to say, if all we can do is build a solid relationship with that, reading his word, asking for clarification, then that's your perfect balance. And speaking of clarification, let's go a little bit deeper into Matthew 6:33. Now, the precursor to all of this was all of the material things that man calls blessings: wealth, clothes, food, drink, all of that. The Bible tells us God already knows what you need to sustain life, so if you have desires outside of that, then we have to look to him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what is righteousness? Actually, righteousness is a state of harmony, and it's established in conscious thought through the right use of God-given attributes. We've already been told that the kingdom of heaven is within, so as I said, what we should be concentrating on is a deeper relationship with God. It leads to eternal life. Truth working through consciousness brings the most perfect salvation. And it's for the whole of man, the mind, the body, and the soul. And in that way, right relation is expressed through all of his affairs. Just think about it. When you are deeply connected to spirit, deep in concentration or meditation on the promises of God to supply all you want, you come to believe and expect the best. It's what you know will happen. Now, that's blind trust. The trust that you see in the eyes of a small child when he or she speaks with his parent. When a child feels heard, understood, and valued. When we learn to trust God with every part of our lives, go to him with every little thing, then you've created a flow. And when you flow with God in relationship, you already know what to expect, and you know to expect it constantly. The answer may look different than you expected, may come through a different avenue. It may even seem to you that the timing is off, or maybe even looking like it's too late. But trust me on this one, brothers and sisters, because I speak with wisdom and experience on this. It is always on time. Now let's take it a step further. The very next verse, verse 34, says, "Take no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow takes thoughts for the things of itself." This means, simply put, let's say you dwell in thoughts of yesterday, looking for what was, and you don't have it anymore, you become sad. And if you're always thinking of what next, you can get anxious. Stay in the moment. Some Bibles even say, sufficient to each day the evil thereof. Stay in the moment, and that moment connects you to your higher self. And you dwell in the flow of spirit, and you will relax and create an aura of positivity around you. An upward spiraling, if I can use that word, of your spirit, and it can't be ignored. You'll notice the change in yourself, but so will others. When you are walking in the flow, your energy will announce you before you are seen. Your thoughts have changed, and when an errant thought does sneak in, and it will, then you'll notice what has changed is your reaction to it. You'll be able to snap back into the righteous train of thought. You're now able to manifest on a level that seems unreal, and for the average person, it is. But you've learned how to get out of your own way and let go and let God. Getting balanced or centered takes practice. Since we do live and operate on this plane with all of its heaviness and negativity, and all that weighs you down. That's why it's so very necessary to stay in as close a contact with the source of all as you can. We move, breathe, and are because of the mercies and grace of God. The closer you are to your source, the stronger your balance. We've become more and more unbalanced as time has passed because of all the things we feel the need to consume. The latest apps and games and smartphones, and all in the interest of faster production of whatever our jobs can get done more quickly or entertain us for a longer amount of time. Only to find out that that so-called spare time is taken up by even more time-wasting activities. So why were you trying to save the time? In that hurry to fill every moment with the activity of some kind, we're falling into a vicious cycle. We don't take time to count our blessings and enter his gates with praise, as it says, and thanksgiving, which leads us to restlessness and discontent, and feeding the need to accumulate more stuff. We've forgotten how much our identity as God's precious children actually gives you the freedom from angst and worry. So to me, the solution is easy. Break from the source of restlessness and the restlessness over acquisition. Just take one day, that you really aren't looking to acquire anything, just one day where you just sit and give thanks. In order to find peace, we need to have deliberate quality time to spend just thanking God. So try this. Just start by acknowledging that in Him there is rest. In short, all the things that we think are helping us to make us so efficient, they're actually draining your very life. Break free, if only for just an hour. I guarantee you that you will begin to look forward to the time alone with God. And I got to tell you, the benefits are endless. When I first started really, really contemplating on this, and it's been a while, but it was hard to do because I kept feeling like I was neglecting something, not only for myself, but maybe I was neglecting something I could be doing for someone else. But the most important thing that I was doing, I was spending time nurturing the relationship between my God and myself. That led to deeper, slower breathing. Literally counting my breaths, and that made me even more and more thankful. With every breath, I said thank you. And then I noticed something else. You can sense the air around you. You can feel the protection of God just hovering over you. And you get, well, I got a sense of warmth, a sense of covering. I call it my celestial hug. And it's nothing like that celestial hug from God Himself, just letting you know that you're not alone. And it's nothing that you need to do. It's no special words that you need to say. You don't need to say anything. In fact, I was taught that we were given a comforter, the Holy Spirit. And when you don't know what to say, the Holy Spirit enters all of your wishes with groaning so deep you couldn't understand it anyway. The Holy Spirit was given to us as a comforter for such times. Once you start with the deeper breathing, it's going to slow blood pressure. It's going to give you extra life source. You feel lighter when you come out of your sessions with God. And you look more and more forward to spending your time. I do. In fact, sometimes I even get a little testy when it looks like I can't spend as much time as I want to. It doesn't matter about the time. It matters about the quality. Relationships are built a minute at a time. All you have to do is connect. And when you connect with your source, which is God, and you keep that golden thread of love, and it's just a feeling that you get that all is well. And it's more than a feeling, because the more you feel that, the more it becomes your reality. And the more you live in that reality, the more you will feel that. And that's the cycle that I want to be in. Not the vicious cycle of, I only have 3 minutes to do this, and then a buzzer's going to go off, and I have to answer this call and that call. Believe me, it took me a long time and a few good illnesses to realize that all the people that I was jumping through hoops for, when I went down, they still had to do what they had to do. So they found someone else that they could use. I'm not saying they did not care about me. They just cared more about themselves. So why can't you, for just a little while, put yourself first? Put your God first. Put yourself in the hands of the God who asked you to do that. And when someone asks you to trust them, and this is just a person, usually we do. Why do we find it so hard to trust our Creator? Our Creator that doesn't push himself on you. He wants you to come to him when you're ready. And he waits. And he waits in anticipation of his child coming home. We're like the prodigal son. We might not have done all the things that the prodigal son has done, or you might have done more. But you have to know that God accepts you back, wants you back, loves you so much. I believe all the heavens rejoice when one person comes back into alignment. You know, the first thing you learn when you exercise is alignment of your body so that blood flow can go completely to your muscles. That's hard to do. But aligning yourself to God doesn't take anything except a contrite heart. God loves a contrite heart. Actually just saying that you're sorry, actually just admitting that you've been a little lax in this area, that doesn't take anything. We don't even have to have false pride about that. You're talking to the Father who loves you. And if you don't have any earthly reason to be able to put with that statement, then just look at the relationship that Jesus had with the Father. Even at the time when he was asking to please let this cup pass me, he realized that whatever was coming from the Father had to do with the greater good, and he acquiesced. Not my will, but your will be done. God does not let his child suffer for long. You will not, as the Bible said, be utterly cast down. In fact, you get double for your trouble. When you trust and believe in God, when you know that you know that you know that he got your back, and he always has your back. When you don't believe in yourself, God believes in you. I have people that say, I don't believe in God. That's too bad, because he believes in you. He believes in you so much that he sent his son to die long before you were born or thought of by your parents, or your parents by their parents. And God doesn't take anything for granted. He uses everyone and everything. And he's going to get the glory out of whatever and however. God can do things to the point that you know it's nobody but him. Now try to dissuade that. At the most down parts of my life, I had sense enough to call out to God. And God had graciousness and mercy enough to answer me. And like I said, the timing sometimes seems like it's off. Or you might want to say, why am I going through all of this? Because you're putting yourself through it. We make it harder than it is. God said, come to me, just as you are. And just as we are, he loves us. Nothing took him by surprise. So if we were walking the path and we stepped off the path, he allows us to go our way because we have freedom of choice. But he still protects you. And he protects you with a horde of angels. And you never have to worry about falling all the way on your face, because your Father will pick you up and dust you off and make you glow in the face of those who were laughing at you. Like I said, he will be the one to get the glory, because people will look at it and there's no things that you can do. From some of the places that I have seen people fall, there's no rehab, there's no rehabilitation houses that can bring you back to the glory of God. The rehabilitation we need is to totally put our hand in his hand, to totally align our mind with the mind of the divine, and just let it go. And I mean totally let it go. Not let it go for the night, get a night's sleep, and wake up with it on your mind. That's not letting it go. And when that thought comes back to you, I still have this problem. You only have the problem because you're fighting to hold on to it. You let it go, and it can soar like a helium balloon. God has this. He has this world in the palm of his hands. We're so busy fighting to take it back. And to do what? We can't fall into this pattern of woe is me. Because the Bible tells you exactly what to do. Stop, be still, and know that I am God. And when you get yourself to that point, it doesn't take sitting in any special position. You don't have to contort your body. Just stop, if it's only 5 seconds, and remind yourself, be still, and know that God is God. God has it all in control, and he wants you to remain in that space. Just know that there's nothing that you have to do. There's no smartphone. There's no app for this. The only app you need is to know God. I tell you at the end of each one of my talks to relax your mind. Release all your cares. Relate everything that's happening to you to the Father. The most relatable person that you could ever know. And when you find it hard to do, just ask the Holy Spirit to help you. And that's what the Holy Spirit is for. The Comforter, the one who protects, the one who reminds you of everything that God said to you. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved. All that simply means is read. Read his promises. God doesn't take his promises back. He's a covenant God. And a covenant will not be broken between you and God unless you break it. God never breaks covenant with his creation. All he wants is relationship. I say that every week. So today, if just for an hour, remember whose you are and who you are. And don't worry about trying to do anything else than to balance yourself. Balance yourself in the arms of your Father and watch what happens. I want you to have a blessed and prosperous day. And be blessed and prosperous in all your ways until we are together again. I give thanks for this time. I give thanks for this radio network. It is blessed, and we are blessed to be a part of it. And so it is.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers 1-888-201-5313.